Blog Talk Radio.
A woman represents royalty. As a daughter of the king, she crowns his thoughts, for she is his headdress. She embodies the captivating nature of our beautiful Savior and the way that she decorates the heart of man. She is the tender heart resting behind the ribs of a warrior king. A woman was created to show us God's heart for mankind. A man, on the other hand, he is the sun that sheds light on the character of that king, for he is the epitome of Proverbs 4:23, where God tells us to guard our heart, for from it spring forth rivers of life. So now we see that women are God's heart and men are their guards. When a man and woman marry, they become one. They represent God the king in the relationship that he has with his own heart. From it, men learn how to become like the God who is at their core, and women become walking examples of the fierce and alluring love of that God. So I imagine that divorce shows us what it looks like for a man to be violently separated from the heart within him. I was 2 years old when the soil of my soul was dug up by my enemy, who planted within me seeds of distrust towards a God I had not yet known. He pounced on the innocent curiosity of a young boy, making him violate the sacred garden of my purity. Insecurity matured into fear and took root of my expectation of every man. This was a message that was driven home with the hammer of every word my father nailed to my mother's broken heart. And with every argument and every time I heard a fist land on flesh, my desire to be a woman died more. And by the time I was 5, I was traumatized as I watched a divorce distort the identities of my parents. You see, my father was called to be a guard, but he became warden, and my mother was caged like a pair of ribs. And I began to determine within that instead of being God's heart in the earth, I would be the king that every broken woman should have had. And as the years passed, this distrust of God turned into me believing that he made a mistake when he created me a woman. And so I lived like the man I thought I should have been. My hair was braided back, head wrapped in do-rags and fitted caps. My pants hung lower than my self-esteem, and I was mean-mugging every man and spitting game to every girl on the scene. It seemed that in my mind, I became Adam and disregarded Eve, because I was attracted to the type of woman I thought that I could never be. So I hid behind an identity that wickedly imprisoned my damaged femininity. And with every pair of lips between another woman's hips that I kissed, I realized I was chasing an identity that was buried between thighs when it actually resides between the arms of my Savior. And though I didn't believe I was meant to be Eve, my longing for an Adam began to smother me, because Christ, who saw the other me when I was made in his image, brought my heart to repentance from these lies I was living. I was separated from God because of sin, and this distorted identity was the result of my divorce from him. This was a message that was driven home with the hammer of every lie I nailed to my Savior's broken heart. And despite my spiritual fornication, God's grace made a way for reconciliation. So I'd like to extend an invitation. Dear homosexual, my name is Philandis Harris, and I'm an ex-lesbian. I know what it feels like to think that you are born this way or to feel like you're supposed to be a man. And I'm also familiar with the feelings that change is impossible. But I'm here tonight to let you know that change is impossible. It is possible, and it's possible through Jesus. And his eagerness and willingness to bring transformation to your life is stronger than any difficulty that you'll ever face. You're listening to Relentless Pursuit International Christian Radio, and I'm your host for tonight.
Hold on, wait a minute, Philandra, you got two hosts on the show. Two hosts. We share the network. I mean, we share the show. They can just stay at your house, but
This is also your host, Tamika, and you are listening to, like Philanda said, Relentless Pursuit Radio on MCD Network. We're going to give a shout-out to our network owner, Coach D. Everybody say, hey, Coach D.
Hey, Coach D.
Coach D, where you at?
I'm here. I'm in the house, and I tell you, I am excited, on fire, and cannot wait to hear what's going to go on Monday Girl Talk for Relentless Pursuit. I'm excited, ladies, and I am in the house.
Thank you so much for your presence on this show tonight.
So tonight is our first show of Relentless Pursuit. We're a young adult faith-based talk show created to bridge the gaps between racial, spiritual, and social divides. We're going to strive to bring unity, healing, and an awareness of self by discussing controversial topics that hinder the millennial generation. So we want to reach our age group, things that hinder us from becoming everything that God purposed us to be, or hinder us from pursuing our dreams relentlessly. And our desire is to encourage and equip our listeners with biblical principles that will nurture their dreams and catapult you into your divine destiny. So today's show, every Monday we're going to do Girl Talk, and today's show is just getting to know the host. We're going to talk about Philanda, we're going to talk about myself, we want y'all to know us, we want you all to tune in with us every Monday, 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9:30 p.m.
Eastern Standard Time
from the East Coast, all the people from Michigan, from Cleveland, woo-hoo, that's my hometown. So Philanda is from Michigan, so
Detroit.
You know, thumbs down, thumbs sideways.
Okay.
I was in Michigan for a little bit of time, so not all the way down. But moving forward, Philanda's just shared an awesome poem. Bars for that. Come on, everybody, snap your fingers.
Bars.
And we're just going to talk. This is a controversial topic that is running rampant in the news. Everybody, like, what is it? What is it not? We don't understand it. Who cares? Whatever your perspective is, we want to narrow that perspective down to a biblical perspective. This is a Christian radio. We're not going to be too churchy, but we are going to use some. Our foundation is the Bible, and we do believe that is the truth. And so, Philanda, I'm sure our audience want to know, inquiring minds want to know, what happened? So you mean to tell me that you were homosexual and now you're not?
Absolutely.
So what happened? How did that even happen?
Well,
where did
I remember.
It start?
I remember in the first grade. I'll go back further than that. When I was about 2 or 3 years old, I experienced molestation from a close relative, and that just left me subconsciously with feelings of abandonment and an unsafe feeling when it came to dealing with men. I didn't feel safe around them, and I felt abandoned and unprotected. And in first grade, that was the first time I had, like, a lesbian dream where a girl approached me and was kissing me. And by the time I hit middle school in the sixth grade, that was the first time I actually felt homosexual feelings or a physical attraction to another female. And then later on in the eighth grade, when I was about 13 years old, that was the first time I had any physical sexual encounter with another female. That was the first time I had a girlfriend. And that just basically opened up the door for me to experience lesbian relationships, like back to back to back. And so by the time I was 17 in high school, it was about my senior year. At that time, I was having tormenting dreams on a regular basis of me being a boy and kissing girls and pursuing them in all types of inappropriate ways. And so with those dreams being regular, I mean, I was having them every night. Because they were so regular, I just started to kind of reason in my mind, like, well, maybe this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe this is who I'm supposed to be. Maybe I was born the wrong sex, and if I would have been born the right sex, then how I'm living now with dating women is actually right. And so it sounds a little confusing, but that's what happened. And when I was 17, I I went to church with my mom and a girl that I was dating at the time, and I don't know what the sermon was about, but I just know that when he did that altar call, it felt like somebody was standing next to him and had a rope caught a hold of my heart and was just pulling at it relentlessly and wouldn't stop. I couldn't resist it. I couldn't harden my heart. And so when he did the altar call for people who needed to receive Christ, that was the first time I actually went up and I said the sinner's prayer and I got prayed for. And at that point, I felt
delivered.
No, delivered.
No.
But no, you know, I felt, after that, I felt a peace in my heart about myself. And I also felt that I wasn't living right. I wasn't living in a way that was pleasing to God. And so.
Wait, so what were you doing?
Well, I was dating this girl, and I was sexually active with her. And as Tamika likes to say, that two girls can't have sex. So we'll just be real. It was oral sex. And that's what happened for a lot of that relationship. And I had a bad feeling about that after I said this prayer and got prayed for and gave my life to Jesus.
So did you broke up with her?
I broke up with her. So after church was over, we were riding home in the car to drop her off, and I sent her a text and I said, hey, you know, we have to end this relationship. I can't continue down this road. And if I'm going to live my life in a way that makes God happy, I have to end this. And she was not understanding at all. She was very upset. She didn't understand how I came to the conclusion that if I wanted to live my life for God, why couldn't I stay in the relationship with her? And I didn't have an answer.
Pause. I feel like a lot of people have that question. Like, there are a lot of homosexual people that I talk to that, you know, are believers. They believe in Christ, and they follow to their best ability or whatever it is they're doing, and they wholeheartedly believe that they're saved and that they're doing the right thing. So what would you say to that person, you saying that you received Christ and you felt like it was wrong, and her not being able to understand? So how do you speak to the person that doesn't understand how they can't be saved and know Jesus and believe in Jesus and be a Christian and be homosexual at the same time? Is it possible to be a homosexual and be a Christian?
No. And the reason why I say no is because Christianity, it isn't just a religion, or it's not just something that you do. It's a lifestyle. And it doesn't matter what type of lifestyle you live, whatever way that you live, you have to be committed to it, or else that's not your lifestyle. So if Christianity is my lifestyle, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, I believe that the Bible is 100% truth, even if I don't understand all of it. If that's going to be my lifestyle and I say that I'm a follower of Christ, and the Bible says that if you love me, you'll follow me and keep my commandments and obey my word. It's clearly stated, you know, several times throughout the Bible speaking against the lifestyle and the act of homosexuality. And so if I believe that the Bible is true, I can't live a homosexual lifestyle and say that I'm a follower of Christ if I'm not keeping his word. And so
let me interject. Do you separate the sin of homosexuality from other sins? So if somebody believes in Christ, they confess it with their heart, believe in their mind, in their heart that Jesus is the Savior of their life, and they believe he died and rose again on the cross, and they believe that they're saved and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all of that stuff, but they still struggle with other sins that may not be homosexual, are they a Christian?
Yeah, they are.
So why aren't the homosexuals a Christian?
Because there's a difference between struggling with something, which I would define as, I'm a Christian and I struggle with anger or rage or cursing or lying. I struggle with a lot of those things, but the struggle is defined as, I acknowledge that these problems are there, but I'm actively making decisions and being intentional about the decisions and the choices that I make to not be that way anymore. So that's where struggle comes in. If you're not struggling and you're just flat out like, hey, I like women and I'm a girl, or I like men and I'm a man and I have sex with these people and I date them, but I believe in God, that's where I have to say that you're not a Christian because you're not doing what a Christian does according to the Bible.
Okay. And I know that there's probably a whole slew of listeners that would agree to disagree with you. And, you know, it's about what the Word of God says and, you know, your personal experience. We can't take that away from you. I think that on the flip side of that, people also need to know that there is a way out. Because I think sometimes when you are a believer of Christ, you can go to church, you can try to live a lifestyle, and if you're struggling with certain habits, you may not know that there is a way to not struggle with that.
Right.
You know, so I've met, you know, homosexual pastors, transgender worship leaders that really believe and they believe they love Christ and that they're doing it right, but also believe that they've been deceived in their identity and not knowing who they are and not knowing that there is a way outside of this. I think that homosexuals, and you can let me know if I'm wrong, you go through a period where you're taught or you learn to just accept how you are because it's not going to change. And society says, you know, that's okay and accept it and be who you are.
Absolutely.
You know, and so there's you know, you're conditioned to just say, okay, I think you go through a period where you're, like, struggling with, like, okay, I know this don't feel right. It ain't natural. It ain't normal. They're going to make fun of me. It ain't right, but I can't change it. So this is just me. Let me accept it. And that's what we want to bring awareness to today is that it's not, you don't have to accept that. We're not telling you that, you know, if you don't change, you're going to hell. We're not telling anybody whether or not they're going to hell or not. That's not our decision to make. That's between that person and God, and he has the final answer and knows everything in the hearts of men.
Right.
But we are going to say that there is a way out. And if you want that, you can get it in Christ.
Absolutely.
And if you are a believer and you are struggling with that, there is all hope is not lost. You know, and I always say, you know, people have to heal at their own pace.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, people heal and they struggle and they go through their relationship with God at their own pace. He meets them where they are and takes them to where he wants them to go.
Yep.
So go ahead, continue with your story.
And so, you know, after I said the prayer and got prayed for and ended the relationship with the young lady, I decided to start going to church on my own. I was still dressing like a boy. I still had braids in my hair. I was making the decision not to talk to any girls, but I wasn't changed on the outside. I had just made a decision in my heart that, hey, I know that in order for me to get closer to God and to become pleasing to him, I need to start going to church at least. And so for about 2 months, I was going to church regularly. Every service that they had, I was there. And then, you know, there was another girl that came along, and I ended up going back into the lifestyle and dating her. And it was one of the worst relationships that I ever had. I know that the Bible talks about when you stop doing something that's sinful and you get clean from it and you go back to it after experiencing the freedom of not doing that anymore, it's 7 times worse. And I believe that's the first time that I ever experienced that. And so it was a really rough relationship, all types of rebellious activity going on.
Wait, what's rebellious activity?
Rebellious activity, that included, I was in the 12th grade, and this young lady, she was a junior, and she lived in the house with two of her sisters and her mom, and I would sneak out of the house and tell my parents that I was going to my cousin's house, which I wasn't, and I'm sorry, Mom, if you're listening. I would tell them that I was going to my cousin's house, and I wasn't. I was going to her house, sneaking in every weekend, disrespecting her mom's house by having sex in her house. She didn't know I was there. Her sisters knew about it, and one of her sisters was a little kid. She was like 3 years old, and she walked in before. It was just horrible.
Bad.
We were just being bad, rebellious teenagers. And so around that time, it was close to prom for me in high school, and I went to my prom. Thanks, Mom, you made me go. And towards the end of the night, I saw all of my female classmates on the dance floor with their boyfriends. And there was this desire and sadness in my heart, and I was just watching them, and I said, you know, at some point, I'm going to want to be a wife. I'm going to want a husband and some kids. And I can't do that if I'm gay. And so I need to make the decision to leave this lifestyle completely and not come back. And so I made up my mind and in my heart that the next day I was going to contact the girl that I was in a relationship with and break it off. And so the next morning, I ended up contacting her to tell her that I had something to tell her and we needed to talk in person. And so when we got in person, before I could even get anything out of my mouth, she basically just told me everything fell apart. She's like, my mom found out that you've been coming over and that we've been having sex in her house, and my sister walked in on us before, and she put me out of the house, and now I'm about to go to a juvenile home for girls, and I got to go away for a month, but it's okay, baby. We gonna make it. And I was like, actually, we're not. Have a seat. And so I ended up telling her, like, you know, all of this fell apart for a reason. You know, this isn't just a coincidence. I need to end this relationship because I believe that God has a purpose for my life that doesn't include me living a lesbian lifestyle. And she got really upset. Like, she beat the life out of my dashboard in the car, and I was a little scared. I had my phone in my hand just in case I needed to call 911. But she got really upset. She didn't understand what I was talking about God and a purpose, and she didn't know what I was talking about. And so she finally got out the car and slammed the door, and I just left. And so on my way home, I was weeping. I don't know how I got home safe because I was on the freeway. I couldn't see clear. My eyes was full of tears and snot and all that. And I was just crying out to God. I said, God, you know, I don't want to keep going back and forth with this thing. You know, I got saved at church that day. I felt like it was genuine. So I need you to help me to get out of this lifestyle and to stay out of this lifestyle. And after that, I felt peace in my heart. However, after I graduated, that was like right after I graduated high school. In 2009, I started school at Eastern Michigan University, where I am now a bachelor's degree graduate.
Alumni, EMU.
And so right before my freshman year started, I ended up I ended up going back to the lifestyle again with another girl. And this time, you thought it was worse before. It was even worse this time. I got caught up into all types of mess. And it just wasn't good. And so right when I started my freshman semester, I had that feeling in my heart again, like I need to get back right with God. And so I started getting back right with God, going to church regularly on my own. I joined the gospel choir at the school just to try to keep me accountable. And then I ended up ending the relationship with the girl, and I had this dream about it was myself, this other girl, and a few friends that I had from that lifestyle. And we were riding bikes up this hill, and the girl, she was tall. She was skinny and she was light skinned. I knew who she was in the dream, but I didn't know who she was in real life. And so we were following her up this hill on these bikes. And at first, my friends and I were both following the girl. But one by one, the friends started to drop off. They started to disappear. And I felt a conflict in my heart. And I was like, well, should I go with them or should I stay with the girl? And the girl was like, no, Philandis, come on, follow me. Don't go back. Just come on, just keep following me. Let's go. And so I kept following her, but it was with apprehension. And we were still going up this hill. And at some point, all of the friends dropped off. It was just me and the girl going up this hill. And so when I woke up, it was like, it was alarming because I had never had a dream like that before. And so I spoke with a minister that I know, and she just, I told her about the dream, and she said that the young lady in the dream was somebody that God was going to bring into my life really soon, and that we were going to be close, but it wasn't going to be the type of closeness that I had previously experienced with all the other females in my life. And she said, when she comes, you need to guard that relationship with your life. And nobody had ever said that to me about anybody, especially somebody that I hadn't met before. So I kept that really dear to my heart. And so
we're going to pause. If there are listeners that are just now tuning in, I just want to let you all know you're tuning in to Relentless Pursuit International Christian Radio with your hosts, Philandis and Tamika Sanders. This is our first airing of a radio show that will air every Monday, 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today's topic is just getting to know the host. Philandis is sharing her personal testimony of coming from a lifestyle of homosexuality and then receiving salvation. And she's going to be talking about different issues on identity and transgender and different things that she struggled with in that and how she believes that God brought her into salvation and showed her who she was in him. And now she's living life, pursuing her dreams, pursuing her purpose, and doing the things that she feels that God has called her to do. She's just telling a wonderful story. We're going to get back to the story. Is she going to tell us who this light-skinned, tall, skinny girl is? I bet y'all can't guess.
Well, for all of my listeners that have never heard this story before, you are never going to believe that the girl is actually yours truly, Tamika Sanders.
What? Say what? So my grandma says, like, say what? But anyway, yes, so we're going to transition the show and talk about what ended up happening on my perspective of that dream. I didn't have a dream of the same nature. I had no idea Philandis was going to come into my life and change it the way that she has. I know she always say that I changed her life, but she has changed mine dramatically. And so I had no idea. God didn't give me a preview of her arrival. I was just simply doing the things that I enjoyed doing. I was in college. I was a senior in college. She was a freshman. And I was visiting a church that was a college campus church in near EMU called
Ypsilanti Community Church.
Yeah. YCC, I was going to just say YCC. But yeah, Ypsilanti Community Church. And the pastor there knew me. He didn't know me very well, but he saw that I was serious about my relationship with God, and he saw my heart, and they were having a mentorship program. So this particular night, I went for Bible study, and afterwards, I just went to talk to him. And this girl came up standing with me with these baggy clothes on, and I thought she was just, you know, athletic. I thought it was like maybe she just played basketball or something, you know. I didn't think anything to the extent of her testimony. And so the pastor just was like, hey, mentor her. It wasn't anything formal. It wasn't like, Tamika, we're having this mentorship program. We want you to mentor her for this amount of time, and we want you to do this. He didn't give me outline. He just said, hey, mentor her. And I said, okay.
Hey.
Right. He said, hi, what's your name? And so it was like, I would like to say that after that day, you know, I hit it off and I called her every day and I prayed with her and I fought, but that didn't happen. Like, it didn't sink in. You know, it was kind of like random to me. So I would say about a month went past that I probably did not even call her. But I would see her randomly in school. I would see her at different places. And one day I went to, EMU was having a gospel choir practice. I didn't even know we had a gospel choir. I was there for 4 years. I had no clue. But this day, I heard them practicing, and I just went in to see who was practicing. And lo and behold, here's Philandis standing right in the middle, waving and smiling at me. In that moment, I was like, oh, well, maybe I am supposed to mentor her. I keep running into her. You know, maybe this is a divine thing. So I took her out to eat, and I talked to her. I said, so, you know, what do you want? What you want, you know, and she didn't really know what to say. She had never been mentored. So she told me, you know, that she was homosexual, and I was shocked.
because I saw her as a little girl wearing these baggy clothes, and I told her, I said, I thought she just played sports or something. I was like, I played basketball, so I didn't think. And she was like, no, actually, I don't know how to play any sports. I ran track. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I don't know, you know. So it wasn't, I didn't see that on her. And so throughout the course of the time, I just felt the Holy Spirit just, or God just telling me to take care of her, take care of her, take care of her. And one day I went to her literally because I just kept hearing that, take care of her. And I'm like, Linda, what do you need? You need some food or something? Like, you need some clothes? What? Like, I don't, you know. And she was confused. And I said, I just feel like God just keeps telling me to take care of you. And she was like, I don't know. You know, I think I need some food. I was like, okay, cool. We're going to go get some food. Clearly, that wasn't what God was referring to, but I didn't know. And so, you know, we went grocery shopping, but that still wasn't it. And but there was one day that everything took a dramatic turn, and this is where the testimony really gets to her transformation. There was one day she called me, and I was at home, sleep, laying in bed. I had a bunch of papers to write that day. And she called me and she said, can you come pick me up from school? Can I come over? And I was like, oh, man. I was still learning how to be a good everything at that time. So I was like, oh, I'm tired for letting this. I don't really want to come. I don't feel like driving up there. You know, maybe tomorrow. And she was like, okay. Like, she sounded real disappointed. So I hung up the phone and I laid, got cozy in my bed. And it was almost as if something came down and shook me. Like, wake up almost. And I shook, and I heard this voice say, if you do not go get her, you will regret it. I never heard anything speak so profoundly. It was just like as if earth was shaking and woke me up and said that. And I got scared. My heart raced, and I was like, oh, my God, what's happening? So I called her, and I said, it was literally like a minute later. It wasn't even, you know, I called her back, and I said, I'm coming. I'm on my way. I'm almost there. Like, I think I got there, and like
she got there at the speed of light.
Yeah.
And so that's her side of what happened. Let me tell you what happened on my end. So after her and I got off the phone, when she explained that she was tired and maybe we should try this tomorrow, I said, okay. Literally 2 seconds after I hung up my phone, one of my ex-girlfriends was actually, she went to the school with me, and as soon as I hung up my phone, she came out of nowhere, and she was like 2 breaths away from my face. Her body was close to mine, and she was like, hey, how you doing? I miss you. Where you been at? And and I'm like backed up into a corner. I can't get away from her, and I'm just like awkward. I'm like, hi, I'm good. I'm in class. And then she finally walked away. And as soon as she turned around to walk away, Tamika called my phone like, hey, I'm on my way. Where you at? And I was like, oh, good. You're here.
So, yeah, so that night I ended up taking Solanus back to my house. And I just sat her down. And that was the day that I guess my eyes were open that something bigger was going on here. It wasn't that, you know, she needed me to take care of her naturally, but something spiritual was happening, something emotional was taking place. So I sat her down. We had this room that we called the worship room where we just pray, and it's a quiet room. We just leave Christian music playing. And so I took her in there, and she sat down, and she just had this blank stare on her face, like she was looking at something that wasn't there. It was just glazed over. And I asked her, I said, you know, what's wrong with you? And she said, I don't know. I just feel really empty inside. And my heart broke. My heart literally broke at that moment. And I took her and I laid her head on my lap and I just rubbed her hair like a mother would rub their daughter hair. And I just sang to her and I prayed over her. And she just burst into tears. She just started crying relentlessly. She just started crying, and I was like, okay, God, I'm going to need some help here. I don't know what's going to happen. And so I ended up calling my youth pastor to come over, and we all just prayed with her. And I like to say that we just prayed, and Flannis went home, but that didn't happen. It lasted about seven hours before she was back to, you know, her composed self. She was crying. We had her, you know, speaking against, not speaking against, but kind of denouncing the relationship, the ties that she had with the relationships with the women. We had her speaking her heart as to the,
the desires of her heart, the things that she wanted God to do in her life. We had her saying those things out loud and just taking her through a healing process and of prayer and restoration during that time. And I'll say we finished. It was probably about 3 or 4 in the morning, and then she had the nerve to say she was hungry. And I was like, okay, so I'm supposed to take care of you now, right? Like, so I think I'll probably fix her some spaghetti. But from that moment, it was like she was a baby. And I had to, and God was showing me, like, you're going to be taking care of her. And so every day for the next 6 months, she came over my house. I mentored her. I spoke life into her. I taught her how to read the Bible. I taught her how to pray. I taught her who she was and who God is. I taught her how much God loved her. I taught her how to fight against the temptations. Now, y'all asking me how I knew how to do this, I don't even know. I can't tell you. I was shocked, for real. It was just inside of me, and it was just coming out. Philandis thought that this was something I did for a living. She was like, I thought this was like you had a bunch of people that you were helping. I said, no, Philandis, I don't know what this is. God, it felt like it was just inside of me to help her, and I knew the right thing to do. I had her throw away all of her male clothes. I had her, like, change her phone number. I had her disconnect from me, and even with throwing away her male clothes, like, when you got finished,
I don't want her to skate past that comment like it's not as serious as it was. I had a very extensive wardrobe, and all of it was male clothing. I had male underwear. I had male clothes, male pants, male belts, shoes, shirts, hats, and do-rags, everything. And so by the time we got done getting rid of all of my male clothing, I had one pair of pants that my mother had bought me in eighth grade and a short sleeve girl shirt. I had one outfit left, and so I was completely – I felt naked. I didn't have anything left after that.
And so Jesus made me be a Christian in that moment and give her my clothes. Don't ask me how – she was able to fit my clothes to this day. That is still a mystery, but that is how great God is. Blandis and I are not the same size, but I was able to give her a lot of my clothes so that she could have something to wear and start feeling the femininity come into her the way that God wants to. And then there was another Blandis, particular shift that took place when during the mentorship, I would say, she would come over every day. For 6 months, she just watched me be a girl. Like, she would just sit there and watch, and I would say, you know, Flans, what you looking at? And she would say, I'm just watching you. I'm just watching you, your mannerism. I'm just watching you sweep. Like, it was just little stuff. She would just watch me sweep the floor. And I know my mom listening, and she probably saying, when you ever sweep the floor? But it probably, back then, I probably swept the floor a few times. So she got a glimpse. But she would just watch me, you know, do my hair and do my makeup and just watch my mannerism, how I interact with people and all of that. And she would try and mimic that, you know, because she didn't have a role model. And so, but I would also teach her that, you know, she, not to be me, but push her into her own identity. You can look up to me, but I still want you to become Philandis. And so there was one thing that God put in my heart to do with her one day. I just brought her over. I got her dressed up, put on one of beautiful dresses, some of my heels. I did her hair. I did her makeup, and I took her. And this is where we get into part of identity, because she was very confused as to her identity and how she viewed herself. How you view you is very important. So she stood in front of a mirror, and I said, Flans, I want you to stand in front of this mirror, and I want you to stare at yourself for 30 minutes. And I said, I don't want you to move. I just want you to stare at yourself. So we stood there. And Philandis stared at the floor for 25 minutes. She stared at the floor. And I'm like, okay, God, I know I just told her to stare at herself in the mirror while she stared at the floor. I don't know what to say. Do I tell her? Mm-hmm. And I look over, and she's tears are coming down her eyes, but she's still staring at the floor. And so eventually, 25 minutes later, I'm pacing. I'm like sweating bullets because I want to yell at her. Philandis, I told you to stare, you know. And so she eventually stares at the mirror, and I asked her, I said, Philandis, why are you staring at the, why were you staring at the floor? And she started crying and shit, because every time I've looked at myself in the mirror, I've always seen a boy. And I mean, at that moment, I felt bad for being mad at her for staring at the floor. I wanted to cry because she was 20. How old were you? 19?
At that time, I was 18.
18. So for 18 years, every time she looked in the mirror, she saw a boy. And this is the first time that she's going to look in her mirror and see a beautiful young lady. And for her, that was life-altering. So I still made her stare in the mirror another 30 minutes. She didn't get away with that. But we did, you know, we did some other identity things like that. And, you know, Philandis, you could just share what was taking place in that time. What happened when you saw yourself?
Well,
your struggle with just having being able to look at yourself that way.
Well, honestly, I want to take it back just a little bit further. When Tamika first presented the idea, like, yeah, let me do your hair and your makeup and put you in a dress and some heels, anything remotely feminine like that at that time, that used to intimidate me. And I would immediately shut down the idea and say no. And it wasn't because I was trying to be rude or rebellious or anything. It was because no part of me had a desire to be in that because I didn't think that I was attractive. And so I don't know how, but Tamika and Jesus got me in this dress and these heels and this hair and this makeup. And when she put me in front of this full body mirror and asked me to stare at myself, I felt a really strong resistance. It was almost like something was holding my head down and I couldn't look up. Mm-hmm. And so to her, it kind of seemed like I was just choosing not to look up, but I really felt a physical conflict, like I couldn't look up. And, so when I was staring at the floor, it was just really a struggle. And as soon as I looked into the mirror, it was like I felt like something had come off of my vision. And I saw myself for the very first time. Every time... prior to that moment, every time I looked in the mirror, I saw something masculine. I saw not just a boy, but I didn't see feminine features. I didn't see anything remotely attractive, like a woman is attractive. I didn't see anything that was feminine at all. I saw all things that were masculine and had nothing to do with being a woman. And so seeing myself as God intended for me to look, not just to others, but to myself, I saw that for the first time, and it just, like, it broke something on the inside of me. And that was why I couldn't look right away. And,
So what would you say to the young lady or young man who looks in the mirror and sees themselves as the opposite sex? What advice do you give them, or what, you know, hope do you give them, and how they view themselves? Because that's very important. How you see yourself determine where you're going, you know, in the direction that you go. So what do you have to say to that individual?
Well, first of all, I want to let you know that you're not by yourself, because I used to feel like I was the only one that felt like that. The idea of someone else dealing with that or feeling that way never crossed my mind. So I first want to say that you're not alone. You're not the only one that's feeling that way. You're not the only person who has felt that way. And secondly, I just want to tell you that the way that you were created, whether you're a female or a male, God created you that way, and you're perfect because he created you and you're made in his image. And so everything about you is beautiful if you're a woman, and everything about you is handsome if you're a male, because you're made in the meticulous and immaculate image of a perfect God. So there's nothing wrong with you. You're beautiful and you're perfect just the way you are. And just by you hearing this, God is wanting to introduce you to yourself for the first time. He wants you to look in the mirror after you hear this and see you, not what you think you see or not what you've been told that other people see, but he wants to introduce you to you. And it's not going to be easy, but if you're open to it, that's what's going to happen, because that's what happened for me.
So let me ask you a question. So was this situation where you just saw yourself as a boy? Did you feel like a boy on the inside? Because I've heard, you know, men, homosexual men, that say they, one guy told me, he's like, I just feel like it's a fat lady living inside of me. Not to be funny, but that's what he said. He said he feel like it's a woman living in him. And so, you know, I've heard that several times. I've heard men say they feel like it's a woman living in him. So living in them, or they feel like a woman inside, you know, some, with some of the things that are happening in the news and in Hollywood and entertainment, and people are just, you know, going by how they feel inside, and they're trying to bring that on outward. Mm-hmm. They're trying to bring how they feel inside to the surface, because mm-hmm. this is how I feel is true to who I am. But mm-hmm. how do you line it up with how you feel and what you were feeling and how, you know, God wanted you to feel in those moments?
That's a very good question. Not the easiest question to answer. I can relate to that, feeling like I was a boy with a girl shell, if that makes sense. Because everything that I did, it was with the intention to portray the boy that I actually was on the inside. So the way that I took pictures, the facial expressions that I made, the way that I said things, the word choices that I used, the way that I walked, the way that I carried myself, and the way that I spoke to other people, it was all with the intention to, you know, quote unquote, bring out the male that I actually was. Like, everything about me that was feminine, I hated it. I hated the fact that I had breasts. I hated the fact that I'm a girl and I have, not just that, but like, I hated the fact that I had a menstrual cycle or a female private part. Like, I hated all of that because I'm like, this doesn't match how I feel. And so anything remotely feminine, everything that I see about myself now, I see as feminine. And it's always been that way, but I didn't see it that way before. Like, I used to think that I had boy hands, and I used to feel like I was built like a boy, just in a female body. And,
I want to just address that, because a lot of people, you know, they're taught in society, how you feel is who you are. Do what's inside of you. Do what makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but when we line that up with biblical principles, that's not so much how God operates.
Nope.
You know, the Bible does say that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. So there are ways that you can go that may feel right, that may seem right, that may look right, and it doesn't mean that it's necessarily right. And you have to, the only way to know whether or not it's right is by having a relationship with God, and by Him showing you and revealing it to you, and by you trusting Him and understanding the Bible and believing that and really living that out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of people, They just do whatever they feel and what makes them happy and all of that thing, but it's not always pleasing to God. So
right.
That's really important to share. And I just want to bring up the question. I know a bunch of people on the radio want to know, inquiring minds want to know. This is the question of the year. Do you still like girls?
I do not.
How do you know?
I know because now that I've spent the past almost 7 years allowing God to show me not just who He is, but who I am, those desires that I had for women, they're not there. And so I like to talk about, sometimes the enemy will try to bring up mental images of memories of things that I've done in the past. And so it might be something that's sexual that I've done with another female in the past. Those memories, they actually upset me. There's nothing about those memories that makes me feel like, oh, Jesus, you got to help me because I'm struggling right now, and I feel like I want to go call Shirley and see how she's doing. No, there is nothing about those memories that is anywhere near remotely appealing to me. It nauseates me to think about myself being intimate with another female in any way. Like, I mean, we could be friends. Like, I have a best friend now, but it's a healthy, normal, pure relationship. It's not I secretly like her. And it's nothing like that. Like, I don't have any attraction to women at all.
So how did that happen? What happened that transition, you know, from going from liking women to you know, liking being attracted? You do like men, right?
I do.
Godly men.
I love men.
So, but going from liking that, was there a period of time, like, what did it look like in between? Did you just not have any feelings? Why, you know, what was the transition? What happened to help you transition?
Let me tell you. So, when I first met Tamika, and I went through that 17,000-hour process that she talked about with praying and, you know, going through the 6 months mentoring with her, and, you know, she discipled me. Those physical attracting, or the physical attractions to women, that didn't go away. That didn't go away. That didn't go away. That didn't go away right away. That's what made it hard, and that's where it comes about the word of God actually being contrary to telling you to go by how you feel, and instead going by what you know. And so anyway, I had to create some very intentional habits, and people might think I'm weird for this, and that's fine, but when you really want something, you'll take very drastic measures. So in the beginning, because those physical attractions were still there, I was still looking at women in lustful ways, but I felt bad about it because I knew I wasn't supposed to. So I had to create a habit where anytime I was out in public and there were other women present, I would pretend that they weren't there. I wouldn't make any eye contact with them. I wouldn't acknowledge their presence. I would intentionally, if we had to walk by each other, I would make sure that there was enough space between us that she didn't think she would get bumped by me or anything. I didn't want anything to do with another female. I didn't want to look at him. I didn't want to talk to him. I didn't want to be by him. I just wanted to be by myself. So for
you kind of isolated yourself.
Yeah.
The opposite end of the extreme.
I did. I really did. The only female that I was hanging around was Tamika and my mom and my family and the people that I met through Tamika at her church at the time. But even still, like on a regular basis, I isolated myself. I didn't make friends with anyone, and I had to do that because God had to teach me how to not look at another female in a lustful way, and I didn't know how to do that, so I took an extreme approach. I just chose not to acknowledge them, period, not even try to exercise anything right away. I didn't acknowledge them at all.
You're talking about a relentless pursuit. That is, you are pursuing what you believe, who you believe God had created you to be. Although what you saw yourself as and what you felt inside was contrary to what God said He was, where He wanted you to be, or who He created you to be, mm-hmm. you were pursuing that in faith relentlessly. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say for people that don't understand, you know, what you see is very important. You know, I know, like, there are some cliche sayings like the eyes is a tunnel to your heart and those type of things. But as it relates to the Bible says to guard your heart above all else because out of it flows the issues of life.
Yep.
You know, so the things that you are exposed to, the music you listen to, the things that you see, the things that you say, all of those things are internalized and in your heart. And then whatever is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth and come out in your actions, and it's going to kind of shape your life, so to speak. And within that verse, it also say, keep your eyes straight ahead.
Yep.
And keep your eyes, look, not literally straight ahead, like you walk, you can't look to the left if a car is coming, but it's saying basically keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on the prize. Stay focused. Get tunnel vision. Stay focused. Take on the narrow path that God has called you to be so that you don't get distracted.
Yep.
And so, like, even with your dream, I think it's very symbolic of those people where you said, following me and you, and then they start looking to the left and to the right, and they ended up going to the left and to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I would say, look, you would look over, and I would say, no, let's go. Follow me. Let's go back up. Don't look at them. Don't worry about what they're doing. Because they went on the path, and they obviously, I don't think any of those people are even in your life at this point in time.
Nope.
You know, and so the dream did actually come to fruition. One more thing I want you to just talk about is, how did you get out of the boy mannerism?
Well, that goes back to other habits that I had to create. I had to, I like to liken this experience of transition for me to the way that an actor prepares for a part that they're going to be playing in a movie. I don't know if you're aware or not, but anytime an actor has a part that they're playing in a movie, they spend months studying that part. They spend months studying the mental condition of that character. They study the culture that that character comes from. They study the accents, if there are any accents, and they literally go to physical places where this character would flourish to become that person. And so, in essence, I had to do that. That's why I would watch Tamika every day for 6 months. I would just look at her, and she would get irritated, like, what you looking at? But it was literally I was studying what femininity looks like, because I didn't know. I didn't know. And, I mean, my mom was in my life. She's a very feminine woman, and I love everything about her femininity. But just coming from a mentor point of view, I didn't know what femininity looks like, so I had to study it. What did the Bible say about femininity? What about the women that are in leadership roles in my life? What do they look like? How do they walk? How do they dress? How do they carry themselves? What do they say and not say? You know, how do they respond and interact with other people? And I had to study that. And so not just study it, I had to practice it. I didn't feel like I was that person. I will tell you that when I first started wearing girl clothes, it used to make my skin crawl because I was so used to wearing big baggy shirts and big baggy jeans and thinking that I was a thug. And so when I started wearing these tight clothes that was touching my skin for hours, I couldn't wait to get home to snatch that stuff off. Like, it was bad, and my favorite colors were red and black and just all these kind of just masculine things. So
I know that some of the things that even I was able to do was, she even had to change, in that particular period of time, change her favorite colors.
Yeah.
I forced her to make her favorite colors pink and purple.
And now they are actually my favorite colors.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, just to help her, you know, they do that when babies are born, to help with gender identity. But it wasn't that black and red are bad colors, but it's just that for her, it's what it meant to her. To her, black and red correlated to the lifestyle that she was trying to get away from. So I said, okay, we're not going to wear anything black and red. And it's funny because I would go out of town and come back and find it's like, oh, I went shopping. And then, like, everything would be black and red. I'm like, okay, you either have to take it back or throw it away. You know, it wasn't, there was no in between. You know, she would try to cut corners, but I would make sure that she stayed focused in that and, you know, made sure that she was intentional about her appearance. And, you know, there was a season I was like, Lana, you know, you have to do the most to take back your femininity. Enemy tried to steal that from you your entire life. You're going to have to do the most. I don't care if you go into the bathroom to sit on the toilet for 3 hours. Your eyebrows better be on fleek. Your hair better be curled. You better have some heels on sitting on the toilet.
Better be done.
And so I remember there was times that I would literally have her walk around in heels for like an hour.
2 hours.
Just walk around. Just not take them off. Just walk them up and down, back and forth, around. Because I wanted her to get comfortable in being walking feminine. I wanted her to have a feminine walk, her mannerisms, the way she sat, her posture, all of this stuff, even, you know, the word choices, all of those things were things that she had to work on and unlearn.
Yeah.
And not just unlearn them, but relearn. And I tell her, the opposite of what?
The opposite of gay, homosexual, or lesbian is not straight.
It's not being straight.
It's
so
not,
people,
yeah.
They think that you just, you know, just because you have a boyfriend now, you're not gay anymore. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare. You know, you're taking that all the way into your other relationships, whether or not you know it or not. But the opposite of that is holiness, is knowing God, is pursuing God, is understanding God, is developing a relationship with God and finding your identity in Him. Then the natural, the affection that you would have for the opposite sex will naturally graduate, and then you enter those relationships healthy and within wisdom and led by God and that they're healthy relationships. You know, people, I watch girls, they bounce back and forth. They 1 minute they're lesbian, and then they're with a guy and they have a baby, then they go back to being lesbian. They're bouncing back and forth, and they get confused. And it's out of a place of hurt, and that's another topic for another day. But that is what, so it's not just because you're with a guy doesn't mean that you're not gay anymore. So when I mentor Philandis, my goal was not to hurry up and get her a boyfriend and hurry up and get her married. My goal was to hurry up and get her to find out who she was, for real, for real. And that's what I think that we have been able to accomplish. Now, the story we just told you was a span of 6 years. We're getting close to the end of the show. But I hope that I'm glad that you all tuned in. I'm glad that you all listened. God opened this opportunity for us to have this show at a very short period of time. Literally last month, we were asked, given the opportunity, and we ran with it. And God gave us a vision. And so we just thank you for your support. Remember, Relentless Pursuit Radio every Monday, 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, Philandis, anything else you want to say?
I just want to say follow us on Facebook, Instagram. My page is Philandis Harris. Tamika's page is Tamika Sanders. On Instagram, I'm Philandis Harris. And
We'll have our show Instagram. We'll have our show Instagram up later. I want you all to tune in next week. We're going to have some wonderful guests on the show, wonderful people, beautiful friends of mine, Taylor and Alfred Simon. They are both CEOs and anointed prophets of God, CEOs of a branding and marketing company. If you've even seen the logo, our Relentless Pursuit logo, they are responsible for creating that amazing logo. So
thank you.
They will be on the show next Monday for our Entrepreneur Showcase. They're having an event at the end of this month with celebrity stylist Jay Bolin. So if you don't know who he is, look him up. But we got to go. Until next time. Take care, God bless, and we wish you the best. Amen. We would say a nice little prayer. Was there anybody who had any questions? We forgot to ask questions. We just talked the whole time. But we can bring in a few comments, a few questions if you have any. Go ahead.
Press one. No comments? No questions? All right, well, we're going to pray it out then. Lord, we just thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for every single person that tuned in, even if they didn't stay the whole time. We thank you for their lives. We thank you that you spoke a word of encouragement and hope and faith into their lives, Lord. And I just pray that this story would plant some seeds and that you would bring somebody to water it, and it would just ultimately become a testimony of your glory in their lives, Lord. And in Jesus' name, we just ask that you would just be with us all tonight, and that you would give us sweet rest and sweet sleep, and that you would protect us. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
We have a caller.
Hi, ladies.
Hello?
You do have a caller. Area code 216-6198. You're on Relentless Pursuit.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on Relentless Pursuit.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I was listening to the whole show. This is the host, Tamika's nephew, Darrell. I was telling her that I was watching the whole show, and I enjoyed
it. Oh, hey, babe. Thank you so much for listening.
You're welcome.
I love you, and I appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Anyone else?
Awesome. Well, we want to thank those for tuning in to Relentless Pursuit. Please tune in on Mondays for Relentless Pursuit at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, you can tune in on Tuesdays to Woman, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Thursday evenings, Processing the Pain, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We thank you for supporting Relentless Pursuit on the MCD Network.